CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill is here with me. And we turn to Christmas. Christmas season is upon us, especially if you're a retailer or do business with retailers, business to business. And we go to kneebone, shinbone, neck. Beijing, Reuters, widening power shortages in China have halted production at numerous factories, including many supplying Apple and Tesla, while some shops in the Northeast operated by candlelight and malls shut early as the economic toll of the squeeze mounted. This is a report from Reuters out of China. We go now to Los Angeles to our colleague who's reporting, Jonathan Bass of PTM Images, on the supply chain from his side of the Pacific Basin, as opposed to the Chinese side of the Pacific Basin. Jonathan, because China is now having random blackouts, something like California in the bad fire season, and because Christmas depends on goods traversing the Pacific to get to Long Beach, it has been a story for some time, and your guidance on this and the observation of others at Long Beach port, that the container ships are stacked up like it was the OPEC embargo of the 1979 and gasoline was in short supply. Putting together the electricity at China's end and the container ships stack up at your end, what's going to Christmas look like? Good evening to you, Jonathan.
Good evening. So Christmas is going to be tough. I mean, the options are going to be limited. Selections are going to be thin. And we need to lean into a diversification of points of production around the world. You know, John, on Friday of last week, we had a rainstorm in San Luis, Rio del Colorado in Mexico. This thunderstorm took out all of our electricity for the day. We had to send absolutely everybody home. It has taken us now 4 days. We won't be back up after the power went off. Our equipment has to be reignited. Temperatures have to get to a certain level. Machines have to get heated. You just can't flip off electricity and flip it on at the turn of a switch and everything in a factory works. So what's going on in China today with these rolling blackouts, the impact isn't just the day that the electricity went off. It's for days and weeks and damages to circuits, to gauges, to other parts of the equipment with this electricity outage. So I expect that this rolling blackouts and the electrical issues in China are going to be impacted 60, 90 days from now. But I really think maybe one of the causes of this is that they're having to supply the 1,600 coal-fired plants that they're building around the world in 63 countries. And maybe they are spread thin on the coal that they're actually producing and have to contractually supply these other coal-fired plants that they're building around the world.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, there seem to be a confluence of factors here. So, for instance, you have Beijing not buying Australian coal. That's meant the price of coal in China has increased dramatically, which means that power operators are not able to sell electricity at economic rates. You've got COVID-19. You have a shortage of workers in the U.S. for various reasons. So you have all these ships that are stacked up outside of California ports. And even more ships are stacked out off of Chinese ports. It seems like Americans are going to learn again about the issues of scarcity, something that many Americans throughout their lifetime have never had to deal with.
You know, with every death comes a birth. And the death of single source supply chain is going to bring us the birth of decentralized supply chain. It's going to bring a diversification of jobs around the world. And it's going to make our countries more secure within our supply chain. We've never realized the vulnerability of single source supply chain because we've never been in this position where we've been in a single source supply chain. So it's shame on those that brought us here, and it's going to be the birth of those that get us away from here.
Where's the driver for this, Jonathan? You're in Mexico, northern Mexico, I presume. Is Mexico changing to welcome diversification of the supply chain? Is Latin America changing?
Is it changing? It's bringing people in. It's helping to move supply chain. But Mexico is not the only opportunity for us. You know, North Africa, Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt. You know, let's bring Egyptian cotton production and sheets back to Egypt. You know, I mean, there's a lot of diversification of supply chain that should go around the world, and the wealth should be diversified, not to be in one part of the world, but actually spread back to markets around the world.
What's your timeline for that, Jonathan? I mean, are we looking at years to rearrange this?
Well, I was just on with another media group, and I said to them, you know, instead of us talking about infrastructure spending, because I don't know what infrastructure we're going to spend on when we have no goods and services to move on these highways, but why don't we look at an investment into building, you know, new factories and opening supply chain around the world, whether it's in the U.S., Canada, Mexico, Latin America, to diversify our supply chain? Why aren't we investing at the bottom of the foundation? Why are we investing in roads and highways when we're not going to have goods and services to move on those roads and highways?
You have a question for Jonathan Gord.
Jonathan, there seem to be two issues here. One of them is that the U.S. needs to shorten its supply chains, because once you shorten them, you then avoid the problems we're seeing at Long Beach and in ports off of China. But the other issue, which is far more important, is that we should not be enriching a hostile state with our trade. And that, of course, is China. So your idea about moving goods to factories to places like Morocco, which are friendly to the United States, which are under attack from China's proxies, seems to me a very important idea for us to basically think about geopolitics when we also talk about supply chain issues. You've been talking about this for quite some time. Your thoughts about this?
I think it's not only geopolitically, it's environmentally as well, Gordon, because by shortening the supply chain, we reduce the carbon footprint that long supply chains take. So it's helping investing in countries of shared values, our friends, helping their economies grow as long as our economy grows with it, and also helping just environmentally the impact, with 15 of China's largest container ships polluting as much as 780 million cars in the world. It would reduce a tremendous amount of pollution by just shortening supply chain.
Jonathan, Christmas, back to that. Prices are already going up. Are the shelves going to be emptying? 30 seconds.
The shelves are already empty. And they will be further emptied. But yes, prices will continue to go up, with $25,000 container rates that will hit the pocketbook of every American consumer. And the shortages of raw materials create price increases for those that can buy them, and those price increases will be passed along to the consumer.
Jonathan,
so yes, on both.
Jonathan Bass, CEO of PTM Images in California, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek in the Hill. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.